Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So it looks like the teachers union has won again in Albany, arguably the most powerful of all lobby groups in New York State. The UFT seems to have fended off a move by schools chancellor Joel Klein and former governor Eliot Spitzer to tie a teacher's tenure partly to their students' achievement. According to the New York Times this morning, a draft of the relevant portion of the bill obtained by the Times changes language added to state law last year while Mr. Spitzer was governor. That section said teachers would be evaluated for tenure based on, among other things, quote, evaluation of the extent to which the teacher successfully utilized analysis of available student performance data. That's a mouthful, but I'll read it again. Evaluation of the extent to which the teacher successfully utilized analysis of available student performance data. So that means, I guess, got the kids to do better after standardized tests. The newer language, according to the Times, says, quote, the teacher shall not be granted or denied tenure based on student performance data. Again, the teacher shall not be granted or denied tenure based on student performance data, unquote. The Times says the matter is to be turned over to a study commission for further review, but apparently for now it will be out. So comparing the new language to the old, those two quotes I just read, the idea for this kind of evaluation seems like it was very tame in the first place, doesn't it? Referring not to standardized test scores per se as the point on which the teacher would be evaluated, but the extent to which teachers utilize test scores to help the students. That's a teacher's main job, isn't it? The new language not only stops requiring it, it forbids student performance data from being used to evaluate teachers for tenure. A job for life for a teacher is now disconnected by law from the performance of his or his students. Is that a good thing? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Teachers, parents, anyone else, call us up, 212-433-9692. We started a web discussion on this before the news, and we have a few comments already. You can keep posting there, but also call us up. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Here's comment number one from the website. It's interesting. It says, I taught for 2 years in the South Bronx. My school is the only school in the New York City School District that exclusively serves the project. I guess he means in his school district that serves the projects. There is no doubt in my mind that teacher tenure should be linked to students' test scores, although most teachers at my school would disagree. Not linking students' test scores to teacher tenure shows the assumption that certain kinds of kids can't score well on tests. By certain kinds of kids, I mean kids from the projects, minorities, and immigrants. Teachers at my school always use the excuse that kids from the projects can't really do well on tests. The actual problem, however, is the teachers' attitudes and the inexperienced administration. So that from Stephen in New York City, of course, posting on his experience teaching in the Bronx. How much do you agree with Stephen? Go and respond to Stephen at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show or call us up. And bang, like that, our lines are full. So let's go right to Fabio in Montclair. Fabio, thanks a lot for calling in.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I love your show, Brian.
Thank you very much.
About Stephen's comment, he throws in also inexperienced administration. So it sounds like some teachers will lose tenure or will not get tenure because the administrators are incompetent. So that's comment number one. In general, I think that there would be Stephen's attitude is a sort of a shortcut, which is akin to resolving the immigration problem by kicking out everyone. All the illegal immigrants.
But are they going to kick out everyone? I mean, we have...
No,
you know,
I understand.
We have a teacher shortage in America. Where are all these qualified teachers being purged from the system unfairly that tenure is so tenuous?
No, I agree. Mine was just hyperbole. But I think that we tend to see the teaching profession We don't emphasize, I think, the difference between what teaching is, which is a mission more than a profession. And I keep on hearing the emphasis put on teacher salaries and so forth. But this is not why we get into teaching. I think that the financial motivation is very secondary in our case. I think that
I don't want to gloss over that either. I mean, I don't want to romanticize it. I mean, you know, I think teaching is one of the most honorable professions possible, and I think there are a lot of people out there who use teachers as punching bags just because they want privatization or something like that.
Sure.
But
mm-hmm.
people in the real world go into teaching for a combination of reasons. Some are simply mission-driven. Some see it as not the best-paying profession in the world, but okay in a relatively stable middle-class
sure.
life
mm-hmm.
with summers off to boot. And so, you know, it's complicated, right?
Of course, yes. But as far as going and looking at the student achievements, it really depends on the larger picture of society. I know, you know, leftists and liberals always tend to blame society for it. But if you look at the fact that our children are being transformed into pure consumers, and they have to devote more and more time to consuming products. So television pushes video games, so they devote more time to video games. If the culture as a whole wants from children that they become consumers because of the necessities of the economy, there would be less and less time and emphasis and attention given to
right.
school. And at the
But Fabio, before I move on, I'm going to ask you one thing, and I'm going to go right back to the text of the law. In
mm-hmm.
in the original wording, the thing that's being eliminated now, it says evaluation of the extent to which the teacher successfully utilized analysis of available student performance data. In other words, it didn't look like he or she would be granted or denied tenure based on test scores themselves at all, but the extent to which the teacher successfully utilized analysis of the test scores. Now, that may mean to improve that child's test score, but that's...
That is bureaucratic obfuscation. What I think could work would be a peer review system within each school
mm-hmm.
With teachers give each other grades anonymously based not or ranking abilities. And then an overall assessment.
How would a teacher know how to grade his or her peers if they're
in
their own classroom?
Oh, we know. We know who does a good job and who doesn't. So if we started to rank each other, and we looked at the weaknesses where they become apparent individually. And then you look at the overall performance of a school in terms, you know, you could use standardized tests or other measurements. Then you would realize what are the weak links are inside the school, because the good teachers are the first ones to be really, really deeply annoyed by the bad teachers. Now, we are all together in the same union, therefore we all scratch each other.
I understand, but there's no system for the individual teachers having
their
voice. Fabio, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you for all your comments.
Sure.
I really appreciate it. Here's another comment from the webpage on this. It says, linking teacher tenure to test scores and other high-stakes testing practices dehumanizes young people and treats them more like widgets and products that must produce instead of as individual human beings with unique interests and backgrounds. A more democratic conception of education would respect the individuality of young people and give them a chance to direct their own learning, as happens at Brooklyn Free School in Park Slope. Okay, so shout out to Brooklyn Free School there. But if students direct their own learning, then how do you evaluate teachers for tenure at all? How about, let's see, Theo in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Theo.
Hi, Brian. I love your show.
Thank you.
I am, my sister and my father are both teachers. And it's really interesting to me because I see a huge difference between the generations. My father, when I brought up the room up in, where is it, in Harlem, where teachers that are in big trouble go to sit and get paid for doing nothing. I brought that up with my father, and he got livid, and it was really interesting to see his reaction. And I think he's just kind of knee-jerk pro-union, whereas my sister's generation, she's, what, 29, is much more willing to question the union and shake things up a little bit. And in what we're talking about here, I really feel like the union is standing in the way of fixing the education system. I think it's outmoded.
What was that Harlem situation? I don't know that story.
No, I think I'm just not able to think of what the name.
But there was some like detention room for bad teachers.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It was a teacher who was reassigned, right?
Because there were bad teachers,
so they were kind of they were found do nothing jobs and kept on the rolls.
Yeah, they didn't even do anything. They just literally went to a specific room. It was on, you know, it was on This American Life had a program on it. It was.
Okay.
It's been in the media, but anyway, okay. it was just interesting to me because I really feel like. I think the comment that you had just read that was posted on the web about, you know, children determining their own learning and, and becoming individuals is a little utopian, you know, frankly. So I think unions need to be able to change. I think the wording change that prompted this discussion is kind of ridiculous. People need to be held accountable if anything's going to change. And obviously we need change because, especially the way the world's going, I think it's insane to think that our standard of living is going to continue to be improved if we don't change our education system.
Theo, thank you for your call. We're talking about whether teacher tenure should be tied at all to student test scores, or as the original, you know, picking through the bureaucraties in that original law, it sounded like held accountable for improvement in the students' test scores. Of course, they only have them for 9 months in defense of the teachers. 10 months, how much improvement over the previous year's test scores can they accomplish? But if that's the measure that they're using, and we can say that test scores are controversial and maybe they're overutilized, but if that's the main measure that they're using for student progress, then maybe progress from 1 year to the other is a central, maybe the central thing by which teachers should be evaluated. Not that the best teachers are always going to be successful, so it certainly couldn't be the only thing. And it wasn't the only thing in the old law. Forrest on Fire Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Forrest.
Good morning, Brian. How are you this morning?
Good. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. I just called because my son is a new teacher in the city school system. He is in New York Teaching Fellows and working on his master's at City College. And my wife is an administrator at our local elementary school here.
You live on Fire Island year-round?
Yes, I do.
Are you ready for the invasion?
It's less of an invasion than an onslaught. There is somewhat of a little bit of a shock when it happens, but we're always glad to see our friends.
Right. Well, this must be your favorite time of year right now because the weather's getting really nice, but the onslaught hasn't happened yet, yes?
Well, I prefer the fall because the weather, actually it's not so nice on Fire Island because the ocean temperature keeps the air temperature cool.
Right, it's
50 degrees on the mainland,
yeah.
40 degrees on the island.
You'll take October.
In the fall is the opposite. I'd love it right up until Christmas.
Okay. So your kid is toiling away in the teacher's program and you're kicking back on Fire Island. But how does this look for you? I'm just kidding.
Well, the issue for me is the tenure issue has always struck me as being something that is protective of the incompetent or the weak. And when it began, it may have been a good thing. Much as I view unions, I own my own business, and I'm not anti-union. I'm anti-union bloat. Anti-union aggressive power over a situation that can't be controlled by anybody, such things as this. These abuses are rampant now. But to get back to the tenure issue is that all of us who are in the private sector are required to perform. If I don't do a good job, then it gets out to the customer base and they stop hiring me. The tenure system prevents getting rid of a bad teacher, any bad teacher.
Well, there is what the union would argue, and with some justification, is that there is There is a system for removing bad teachers. If you're tenured, it doesn't mean you're protected for life no matter what. Tenure originally came in as a notion, you know, as related to academic freedom, and so there wouldn't be political purges of teachers, which has been a problem at times and at different levels of the education system. I don't know that it is so much anymore today. As I said before, we have a teacher shortage in America. I don't know where all these qualified teachers being purged from the system unfairly are anymore, that tenure is needed. You know, I think that's where it started originally. I don't think there would be a whole lot of teachers flunking out of their jobs.
Well, I agree with you in that. And it was a good point, which you brought up while I was holding on the phone. If there is a shortage of teachers, and this brings me to my son. In his first year as a teacher, he took his ninth grade math students to a 10th grade Regents, and 10 of them got a Regents credits for passing that Regents.
Mm-hmm.
And he did an exceptional job and was rewarded for it the next year by getting advanced placement kids. And he teaches in a school in the South Bronx that I really don't want to mention, but
well,
he did a really great job, you know.
And funny enough, you succeed up. And that's one of the other things that Klein has been trying to change, to get higher pay for teachers, and Bloomberg, I should say, higher pay for teachers who work in the tougher schools. Because the way the system works now is, it sounds like, even just as your son may be experiencing, You succeed by getting out of the – when you succeed, you have the opportunity to get to an easier school.
Right.
And the seniority system also allows that. Let's take one more. And, Forrest, thanks a lot. If you live on Fire Island, how could your name be Forrest? Irwin in Manalapan. You're on WNYC. Hi.
Yeah, hi, Brian. I taught for nearly 40 years, and I did teacher training, and I taught every level of student. And my great concern would be that if you link student performance to tenure, who's going to want to go in and really work with the kids who need it the most and will perform at the lowest levels?
Explain to me why there's why is there a relation? You're saying if you link tenure to performance, you're
right.
Not going to get teachers to even go to the toughest schools.
Right. Why would you risk wanting to get your tenure if you're working with students who will not and cannot achieve? We have so many students who are classified as special needs students. You have huge populations of those kids. It's very, very difficult.
But you go back, in a way, to the comment that was posted at the top of the webpage when you said, do not and cannot do well. He wrote, kids from the projects, teachers at my school always use the excuse that kids from the projects can't really do well on tests.
Well, I think that's become a cliche. What I mean cannot do well, I'm talking about because of actual reason. I believe that every child has a right to get the best teacher to develop their maximum potential. Okay, so I mean, I work with at-risk kids.
But if this performance evaluation that includes how students are achieving is done well, if it's done well, the performance evaluation on teachers, they would take into account. Then they would take into account the starting point of the student. So if a student was coming from a background with limited English or poverty that was affecting their performance or whatever it is, that's the starting point. And if teachers have financial incentive to teach in more difficult schools, if seniority doesn't give them the opportunity to get out automatically, and performance is rewarded for helping these kids in particular, why doesn't that all add up?
It's much more complex than just saying, you know, tenure is, you know, linked to performance. It doesn't add up because it all depends on how you could take any system, and I've seen this, any evaluative system, and it can be distorted.
That's
takes great courage
to
work with, with kids who need this maximum effort.
No doubt. But let me ask you one last thing. We're going to be out of time. Irwin, you're going to get the last word here.
Yeah,
but why is tenure needed at all?
Because it gives, as a person who always took risks and worked with some of the most challenged kids myself and got great results, I don't think I would have done as well had I had the idea of the threat of not having my job. See, tenure gives hardworking, dedicated teachers the courage they need to be able to do the difficult work and take the risks that difficult work involves.
Irwin, thank you very much. And thanks to all of you who called on this. 42 people have already commented, or some of them may be discussions that are breaking out, so it may be less than 42 people. But 42 posts so far on our comments page about this. You can continue this discussion there if you want at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And coming up in a minute, we will play a clip from Barack Obama at the Petraeus hearings yesterday that may be the most interesting thing that happened there. Stay with us.